In 2001, after a very successful ad campaign called Be All You Can Be, the Army decided that it would change their slogan, change their marketing campaign to this thing called Army of One. They spent $150 million. There was an ad firm out of Chicago called Leo Burnett. That commercial first aired during Friends, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and The Simpsons. The whole point was that they told us that the Army and the culture was changing, and it was starting to be more about individuals. You know, we were getting into the culture of the selfie. And so we had to go out in the Army and appeal to these young millennials and their sense of identity, their sense of individualism. The Secretary of the Army at the time, Louis Caldera, said that this was a fresh and contemporary advertisement. But when they showed it to us old heads, I was just promoted to Lieutenant Colonel and a couple of Sergeant Majors. You know, most officers, we sit there and we just kind of, we don't want to say anything because the general might chew us out. But the Sergeant Majors, I remember Sergeant Major stood up and expletives deleted, of course. Sergeant Major stood up and said, "That there boy is a deserter." And we're like, "Sergeant Major, what are you talking about?" Well, first of all, he ain't got no helmet. He ain't got no weapon. All the other tanks and all the soldiers are going one way. He's going the opposite way. He's running around in the desert all by himself. I don't even know if he's got a canteen. He's going to die of dehydration. And we all sat around and said, "You're right." Because if you looked at the cliff, you saw the tanks and the helicopters and the soldiers going one way, and this guy just out there running around in the desert like he's lost. Doesn't have a map, doesn't have a compass, whatever. And all of a sudden, the people said, "We didn't think about that." Well, maybe you should have asked us. Because the thing that had happened is that we went from a marketing campaign that I remember coming into the Army in 1982, Be All You Can Be, one of the most successful marketing campaigns, one of the most successful slogans in the entire world. But all of a sudden, the culture dictated how we were supposed to appeal to people to want to be soldiers. So we went from telling an individual that you may be a person all to yourself, but now we want to transform you and conform you into being part of this team, being part of the United States Army, an incredible legacy that goes back to June the 14th of 1775. Before there was even a country, there was an army. But it was all about the culture. And so when you think about this commercial, it really is about how the world sees things. The world does not see that you need the Lord. The world does not see that you need to be a part of the body of Christ. The world believes that you can go out there as an individual and you can get out there and you can run along in the desert and you can stand up and you can be fighting and you can have your dog tags flying all over the place and you can say that I'm an army of one. And that's how the devil picks you off when you're out there thinking that you can be an army of one. And the world also tells you that you don't need Christ in you. You can go out there and all of these different things. You can get a new dress. You can get a better thing of lipstick. You can get some better cologne, whatever the world provides you. You can go to drugs. You can go to alcohol. You can go to sex. If you don't think that God was right in making you male and female, you can self-idolatize yourself and you can make yourself into whatever you want to be. That's the danger of what has happened. So what does God say? What does Jesus say? What a real army of one is. So take your Bibles out and turn over to John chapter 17, starting at verse 15. Because Jesus tells us in these passages I'm about to read how he sees his army of one. And this is how we should see ourselves as a member of his army of one. Starting at verse 15, John chapter 17. "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Skipping over to verse 20. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through the word, that they may be all one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one in them, in you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. That's how we become one. We become one by being inside of his spirit, inviting him into us, because he is in the Father. So therefore, if we are in him, then we are into the Father. And then we come together as a unified body. That's what the Lord sees as an army of one. The Lord does not see it that you try to go out there separate by yourself and take on the devil and take on the evil one. And you are a witness and a testimony to who he is, because if you are in him, then you are the witness to the rest of the world of his strength and his power. And I think that what's happening right now in the church is that we're kind of forgetting. We're unplugging ourselves. We think that we can go out and teach all of these different type of gospels, prosperity gospel, this gospel, happy to glad gospel. But what we're doing is we're getting out there like that soldier, running in the desert all by ourselves. And maybe we don't have the spiritual water. And the next thing you know, we die of spiritual dehydration. And so the important thing that we must realize is that first and foremost, our mission is to be disciples in the world. We are in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. He is in us, and therefore we can be more than conquerors in the world. But we must be one in him and he in us. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2 through 8. Romans 12, 2 through 8. And what does it say in Romans 12, 2 through 8? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That's what we're supposed to do. You cannot conform to the world, but you're supposed to transform the world through the renewing of your mind. And that's part of being one in Christ. Because if you're not one in Christ, you're not going to be successful in transforming your own mind. And you're not going to be successful in standing up against the world. But the thing that you have to understand is that the Lord is looking for each and every one of us to have our part, our role, our mission, our duty, our responsibility, our gifts, our blessings in this thing called his body of Christ. You know, when you think about it, what do you call a person that's a member of the army? A soldier. What do you call a person that's a member of the United States Marine Corps? A Marine. If you're in the Navy, you're a. If you're in the Air Force, you're a. You hear what she said? She said, if you're in the Air Force, you're a flyboy. But in truth, less than 10% of the Air Force fly airplanes. Now, I don't know what you call the Space Force people. I'm still trying to figure that thing out. I mean, Space Cadet or whatever. But I want you to understand is that there's a branding. There's a title that you have. But in the Army, there are many different branches within the Army. I was an artillery officer. I mean, I remember the first time I saw an artillery piece fire, I was like, that's what I want. Okay? That thing is really loud, and it kills a lot of people. Okay. And so that's what I wanted. I wanted to be part of the king of battle. But there are people out there in the army. I mean, we have our own HR department. In the army, you have really your own bankers. I mean, we have a finance, you know, corps. We have engineers. We have infantry. And then in the infantry, you have different types of infantry. You have light infantry. You have heavy infantry. You have Delta Force. You have Special Forces. You have Rangers. All these different things. And the Marines, same thing. They will tell you every Marine is a rifleman, but every Marine also has some different type of specialty, just the same as in the Air Force and the Navy. You have people in the Navy. You have few that are pilots. You have some that are on ships. You have some that are Navy SEALs. You have some people in the Navy. They're sailors, but they may never go to sea. But they have a duty and a responsibility. They have a gift. They have something they have to perform. The exact same thing with us as the body of Christ. Today is the Super Bowl. Everybody knows today is the Super Bowl, right? There are two teams out there. There's 49ers. And they're Chiefs. Or some would say the Taylor Swifties. But the thing is that they may have that brand as being a 49er or being a Chief, but guess what? When you look at the team, somebody's a quarterback, someone's a running back, someone's a wide receiver, someone's in the slot, someone's a guard, someone's a tackle, someone's a tight end. You look at the defense, someone's a defensive lineman, someone's a linebacker. It's the same for us in the body of Christ. We all come together, and when we accept the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into our heart, we become Christians. But guess what? That ain't the end of it. Pastor Chris, I always talk about, don't come in here and just attend. Come here and be involved. I'll never forget when my dad, you know, I told him I wanted to play football. My dad looked at me and said, I ain't coming to see you sit on the bench. Y'all know where I'm going. God don't want to see you sit on the bench. God wants to see you in the game. God wants to see you in some position. And you got to figure that out, because that's how you have a winning team, not running around out there in the desert by yourself. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 14. And what does it say about the gifts that we are given? 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 14. Very simple. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but what? The same Spirit. One. And there are varieties of ministries, but what? The same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but what? The same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether the Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You know, sometimes I love coming in here and having quiet time and watching the worship team, you know, get ready. And I remember one time, you know, Pastor Jen came up to me and she said, well, Colonel, what's your range? I said, well, I'm good out to about 300 yards. Okay. That wasn't what she was talking about. Okay. I'm talking about shooting and she's talking about singing. God ain't giving me no spirit of singing. Okay. But I'm pretty good at the shooting thing. I was just at the range yesterday. But it's interesting because I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the worship team practice and prepare. And you should hear all. It's like a play call. They're talking about 1/4 and all these different things and bridging and stuff like that. I have no clue what they're talking about. But the thing is that I respect and honor their gift. That's what we have to do in the body of Christ. Because see, what happens in the body of Christ is that we have all of these different gifts. We're supposed to come together in one. As guess what goes on? All of a sudden, we get jealous of somebody else and their gift. Well, I don't like sister so-and-so. I don't like brother so-and-so. He don't sing good. he don't really know no tongues. We start tearing each other down. Instead of just saying, hey, Lord, what gift do you want me to have? That would be just the same as I'm sitting back there. I'm the artillery commander and the infantry guy is calling me. He needs my support. I ain't going to fire no artillery for you because I don't like you. So next thing, what happens to the infantry that's in a fight with the enemy if I'm not providing them the support? Or, you know, it comes time when the troops are supposed to get paid and the finance officer says, I ain't paying them. Or you're supposed to get fed and the mess sergeant says, I ain't cooking. That's what's happening in the church. All of us have our different respective gifts. But if we're not working together like that, if we're working together like that, undergather, there's no unity. We've got to stop that. We've got to fix that. We've got to respect each other's gifts. But most importantly, ask God what your gift is. Ask God what you should, he will have you to do. You know what your mission is. Now find out what your task and purpose is. Your what and your why. You know, I was sharing with Pastor Terry before we got talking today. Mark Twain once said, there are two most important days in your life. The day you're born and the day you find out why. So many of us walk around and we know the first day. But do you really know the second day? Because if you're sitting here in church, you doggone should well know the second day. And you should figure out, how do I ask the Lord to bless me with the gifts and enable me to understand what the second day is? If you don't know the reason why, then you're just coming here and you're attending. You're not engaged. You're not involved. If you're not praying and asking the Lord every single day, bless me with the gift, you're sitting on the bench. Maybe you're cheering on the bench. But you're just sitting over there as an oxygen thief sucking down Gatorade. No, I'm serious. That's what you're doing. You got to want to get in the game. You know, one of the things, one of the traditions I like, you know, Texas A&M, they got the 12th man. All right, stop. All right, I got it. All right, yeah. Woo, yeah. All right. But it's a great tradition. It is all about a student who came down out of the stands and suited up because they needed him on the field. And that tradition continues on. God is looking for you to suit up, to get on the field. Because what we're engaged in right now, it's a contact sport. And he's not looking for you to be an oxygen thief. He's not looking for you to sit down and come in here and just suck up the Gatorade. And then you go out there and you don't do anything. He's not looking for you to run around in the middle of the desert without a map, without a compass, talking about I'm an army of one, I'm a Christian of one. No, you're lost, okay? What he wants you to do is be on the team, be on the winning team. Turn over to Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. What does it say in Ephesians 4, 4 through 7? Let's figure it out. In Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You got to figure out what that gift is, so you can be part of the real army of one that Jesus wants us to be, that God would have us to be. And that's how you can be in him, and he is in you, and therefore you are in the Father. But you have to want to step up and be a part. Turn over to Galatians in 3, 26 through 28. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember, he in us, we in him. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. What did Pastor Christians talk about? God wants to pour new wine into you, but he don't want to pour it in the old skin. God wants to put a new garment on you, but he don't want to attach it to some old garment. You got a brand new garment. That's what you should be celebrating. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's why we come in here. And to those of you online, I don't know what your schedule are or whatever, but you're supposed to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. That's why it's so important to be here. So when you can, please be here. Because that's how we become one. Remember how the old Greeks and the Spartans used to fight? They used to lock their shields, right, and create a phalanx. What was the whole purpose of creating the phalanx? It was an impenetrable front. And it was strength. And they would march in step, as one against the enemy. But you know the important thing about a phalanx? In which arm did you carry your shield? Your left arm. Your spear was over here. The purpose of you carrying your shield in the left arm was not to protect you, it was to protect the person to your left. And that's how we have to look at this. Because when you leave gaps, when you don't want to pick up your shield, when you don't want to understand your gift, when you don't want to be a part of that gift, when you start to tear down the person over here because you don't like their gift, then you create an opening for the evil one to come in and penetrate. We have got to be as one. That's what the Lord wants. See, the lesson that we have to learn, the world believes that inside you can be crumbling, your house can be falling down, but what do? They just change the slogan. They just put some paint on the house, on the external. But God is not focused on the external. God is focused on the internal. And when you think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you think about our God, when you think about who we are and what we are called to do, I think about the greatest marketing slogan, the greatest recruiting tool ever. Because God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he is tomorrow. He does not need to change slogans. He just continues on with the exact same thing. He is looking at your heart. He is not looking at the external. This motto is a great motto, but the motto still has to be reflective of simple core principles and values. Turn over to Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Let's talk about Jesus' recruiting slogan that has never changed. Matthew chapter 11, starting verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It never changed. That's Jesus' recruiting slogan. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. For over 2,000 years, come unto me. For 2,000 years, come unto me. 2,000 years after that, come unto me. It's not changing slogans. It's not conforming to the world. It's looking and saying that we are going to transform the world by the renewing of our minds, and we're going to stay fixed and focused on our principles and values. We don't need to change what God has given us. We just need to embrace it. We just need to have those gifts. And therefore, we can go out as one, as his army of one, and we can be successful in being disciples to the world. Remember what the Great Commission says, go ye therefore. That's what you're supposed to do. But how do you sign up to be part of God's army of one? Just come ye. That's it. Now, one day, we're going to all gather together. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 6. Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 12, I'm sorry, 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Wow. What does God's army of one look like? It's right up here. I'm pointing, guys. That's God's army of one. Not a single person out there running around in the desert by themselves, but they're standing together and they're worshiping our Lord and Savior. That's what you're part of. That's what you have signed up to. Just the same as once upon a time, we had that sign, Uncle Sam saying, I want you. Jesus is saying, come ye. And that's the message you have to send out now, is being part of this army and going out and being disciples in this world, but not of this world. There's a clear distinction between what the world sees as an army of one, and it's not successful. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need him, our salvation. And when we understand and accept this recruitment tool and we become that Christian soldier, we're more than conquerors, which is what was said in Romans chapter 8. So therefore, on your feet. Y'all are real slow. All right, on your feet. This is what I want us to do. All across. Link arms. Link arms all the way across. Link arms. Come on, come on. Link arms. Link arms. Come across the aisle and link arms. Come across. No gaps. What did I talk about, a phalanx? You have no gaps in the phalanx. Come across and link arms. Shoulder to shoulder. Shields up. Come on. Man, y'all move too slow. Y'all must be in the Space Force. All right. This is the sojourn army of one. One mind, one spirit, one heart, one God, one Lord. And with one voice, this is what we're going to sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. High note! With the cross of Jesus going on before. Now expand this sojourn army of one. Go out from today and disciple to the world and say to them, come ye and be a part of God's army of one. God bless you and thank you.